Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
You know, one of the things I did in the last couple of months when I was recuperating and doing my voice therapy and various other things to get the voice back to where it is, it's still coming, but I watched hours and hours of the Fannie Willis testimony and Nathan Wade, her boyfriend, out of Atlanta. I'm sorry. It was fascinating. I've seen a lot of trials. I've seen a lot of testimony. I've never seen anything like this. She volunteered to testify. She took this, took the stand. Again, this is the district attorney elected. She used to be a judge. She was a judge. This woman was the worst witness I've ever seen. She was essentially confessing to various crimes. She couldn't help herself. She's very arrogant, very cocky, crazy. I mean, nuts. It was wild. If you didn't see it, I understand it was during the day, you know, work day. You really got to go back and look at some of it because it was nuts. She was so arrogant. She was like objecting from the witness stand. She was yelling at the prosecutor. She was lying her ass off. If you missed it, it was a very simple scheme. This, keep in mind, is the woman who is trying to put the president, Donald Trump, in prison, along with 18 other co-conspirators. So she had a big job on her plate, a big, big deal. She used that opportunity to run a scam. It's really quite simple, to be honest with you. I heard someone on one of the news channels this morning saying it's a very complicated case. It is not. She brings this case against Trump and 18 others for election fraud. And she hires her boyfriend, who's a lawyer, but had never been involved in anything like this. Totally unqualified. She overlooks dozens of other attorneys in her office, brings her boyfriend on board, Nathan Wade, and pays him $750,000 in taxpayer money. Now, there was a reason she did that. Because she wanted a piece of that. And she got it in the form of many lavish trips. They went over them one by one. She went on a cruise. She went to Belize. She went to Napa because he likes wine. She likes Grey Goose, as she testified on the stand. It was stunning. It was like Colonel Jessup in A Few Good Men. She was so arrogant that she broke all the rules. She essentially admitted to this scam, claimed that she paid him back in cash, not traceable, just gave him cash for all the trips and all the spending and all the dinners. Oh, and by the way, she went to Washington and met with the vice president. She didn't admit that on the stand. She lied about it on the stand. Me, an amateur, sitting there, I could have counted, I don't know, 100 examples of perjury. She just kept lying on the stand. Then her father took the stand and he lied over and over again. The big lie was that she wasn't involved romantically with Nathan Wade before she hired him. That was disproven. There were witnesses. Her former best friend put the lie to that. And then there was cell phone data where he was at her house from like midnight to 5 a.m. She was at her house constantly. They exchanged 10,000 text messages. They were on the phone, you know, canoodling with each other over and over again. It was a slam dunk. It was the most embarrassing performance I've ever seen from any witness, including like, you know, criminals and drug addicts. This was the DA, and she completely imploded on the stand. There was no debating it. It was embarrassing, humiliating. Even the guy on CNN, I just watched a clip from the CNN analysts. they admitted that she that she should have been disqualified. So clearly, the judge, this guy McAfee, a total political hack who was facing election and knows that he will lose the black vote if he rules against Fannie. So what did he do this morning? Breaking news. He ruled that she doesn't have to remove herself from the case. She has to remove her boyfriend, one or the other. He split the baby and said, you can stay as long as Nathan Wade goes. So this absolutely corrupt liar, perjurer, can remain on the case and continue to prosecute a president and continue to try to put the president in prison, even though she committed perjury multiple times, even though the scam was exposed for all the world to see. There's been a lot of outrageous rulings and cases. God knows we've gone over the E. Jean Carroll rape case, completely 100% made up. Donald Trump has to give her $85 million. We got over the Alvin Bragg case, the Jack Smith case, which should be dismissed immediately after the ruling on Biden's classified document case. But this one was just theater. This was comical. This was a joke. When she was finished testifying, if there were any justice, the whole case would have been thrown out. You can't have a corrupt DA and, by the way, a corrupt judge. This guy McAfee, who decided he could maybe save himself and win re-election if he kept her on the case. She can stay on the case. Now, some people have said that this is good for Trump because obviously the prosecutor is a moron and a lunatic in this case. It'll be interesting to see how she handles it going forward because she has zero credibility. But honest to God, I know we say this a lot, but justice is dead in this country. We are a banana republic. We are Venezuela. I think we have more Venezuelans here now anyway than Venezuela. But I could not believe what I read, what I heard this morning. Because again, I watched the whole thing. It was a simple scam. I hire him. He's not qualified. I give him $750,000, and then we just live the life. She was supposed to be busy prosecuting this big, wide-ranging case, but she was every week she was taken off somewhere. She was off to the Caribbean, off on a cruise, off to wine country, and he was paying it all with his credit card, and she was paying him back with cash. She said that on the stand under oath. That is a crime. That is not just disqualifying. She belongs in prison. It was obvious for all the world to see, but this coward we're looking at right here, Judge McAfee, is afraid of the voters. He's afraid of the backlash. He knows she lied. He was sitting right next to her. He was trying to control her when she was on the stand, and he decided, you know what? I'll step back here. I don't want to get in too much trouble here. He knows, but he did the wrong thing. He's a coward. He is spineless. He is pathetic. This case is a joke. Going forward, I'm not sure how anybody could take it seriously. I understand. You hate Trump. Plenty of people hate Trump. If you watched 1 minute of this case, you know it is ludicrous. It is laughable. We need to get some of her testimony, Ironhead. I know I didn't send it to you this morning, but see if we can get any of her testimony when she talks about cash. I always have cash on hand, and anytime he did anything, I gave him half the money in cash. She lied on the stand. He lied on the stand. And there's not only no criminal repercussions, she can remain on the case and try to put the 45th president in prison. This is so insane what we're living through right now. This is so wrong. I don't care. Hate Trump all you want. Accuse him of whatever you want. You have the worst people trying to prosecute him. You have the worst people who are trying to put him in prison. Trump has one great strength. He knows how to pick his enemies, honest to God, between E. Jean Carroll and Alvin Bragg and Judge Ernagon and this clown, Fannie Willis. There's just no credibility to these prosecutions. This is remarkable what we're living through. I don't know how the media will react. It's just breaking. But I guarantee you, they will try to spin it. They know the truth. Anyone who paid attention knows the truth. They know what happened here. They know she is a joke. They know she committed perjury over and over and over again. They proved she lied. Her relationship began before she hired him. They know she's lying about giving him cash. No receipts, you know, no withdrawals, no nothing, no proof at all that she gave him the cash in return for these trips. Think of this kind of person she is. This is a pretty big deal. She was elected as a judge. She was elected as a DA. By the way, on the campaign trail, she accused her predecessor of doing exactly what she did, taking kickbacks, using the office to enrich himself. She took the office and she did exactly that. She was making 200 and some thousand, not enough. She had to scam the taxpayers out of trips, out of cruises. This was the worst witness. This is the worst DA. This is a terrible, terrible person. And she has now been allowed to stay on the case. It does not get more upside down and backwards than this. And I'll be curious, hopefully it's all televised, watching her try to prosecute a case against 18 people. Some of whom have already taken pleas in this case. I'm sure they regret it because this is an absolute joke. Do we have anything from Fannie? I don't think she's spoken yet. She must be feeling great.
Yeah, there's nothing up to date right now.
I'll be curious. And this coward, this McAfee, just pathetic, just absolutely pathetic. He knows. He was there. We watched. We heard. We saw the testimony, and he's going to sit there and say, it's appropriate that you remain on the case. Why? Because she's a black woman in Atlanta. That's it. That's all. This is Democrat privilege. This is DEI privilege. There's no way a white DA, a man, a conservative would ever be allowed on the stand. Trump's lawyer, Peter Navarro, is on his way to prison. He's 74 years old. He's on his way to prison because he refused to testify, claiming presidential immunity. He didn't want to testify about his conversations with the president, which makes all the sense in the world. He's going to prison. Fannie Willis is going back to court to try to put the president in jail. Absolute madness. But that's the world we live in right now. I tweeted about this morning, and one of the first responses was F Trump. That's all you got. F Trump. I mean, is really, that's where we are right now. They can try to put him in jail in a completely ridiculous case by a completely corrupt DA. And you're going to say F him. Okay, great. Let's just allow her to put everyone in jail she doesn't like. Let's allow her to interfere in the 2024 election. Totally insane. Totally bizarre. I guess it's okay because it's Trump. I guess it's okay. This crook. She's a liar. She's a crook. Her best friend testified. His partner testified. The case could not have been clearer. O.J. Simpson had a better case than this woman. She was guilty as hell. She admitted it essentially on the stand.
Yeah.
And what do? They say it's like a father who sits his daughter down and disapproves of her boyfriend. Said, we really want you to break up with him. That's what the judge said. Can you just do us a favor and break up with your boyfriend who you gave $750,000 to? A guy completely unqualified for the job. A guy, by the way, who also went to Washington to meet with Biden officials. This thing is so transparent. This effort from Washington to use these local DAs to put their political opponent in jail to stop Trump at all costs. there's a lot of bad cases. This, I don't want to say it's the worst because E. Jean Carroll is the worst, but this case is so ridiculous. And I guess in a way it's good because we all know it now. We all know going forward, this woman is a joke. If you missed it, let's watch a little of her testimony. It was like, it was too much of a stretch for Law and Order to make a plot line like this. It's so absurd. Go ahead.
Wait, it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you...
Guilty.
Stop right there. Good job. Good job, Ironhead, because I watched it all. I mean, hours. I couldn't take my eyes off it. This was the DA admitting to taking cash from her campaign fund, using cash that was donated by supporters, including Judge McAfee, by the way. She admits under oath she took cash. That's a crime. And yet there's no charge. There's not even a disqualification. She was so bad. She was so arrogant. I took cash from campaign funds and used it on trips, on booze and dinners. And there's no one there waiting with the handcuffs. Truly remarkable. Let's watch a little more.
I have cash in my house. I don't have as much today as I would normally have, but I'm building back up now. So you just put money in. It's a very good practice. I would advise it to all women.
So you can't identify when you came into this cash or where the cash came from?
I didn't say I couldn't identify it. No, nobody gives me anything. I am sure that the source of the money is always the work, sweat, and tears of me. What you asked me for is, when did the money go in there? What I am trying to tell you is, so I got divorced in 2005 from my husband.
No.
It's important. You said, where did the money come from? And I need to tell you where the money came from. And so for many, many years, I have kept money in my house. That money, in my worst days, has probably only been $500 or $1,000. At my best days, I probably had $15,000 in my house at Kate. Cash. At all times, there's going to be cash in my house or wherever I'm laying my head.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from.
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from. Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from... what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period that's probably in there.
It went on like this for days. It was just stunning. This woman was a judge. Then she became DA. We're supposed to believe she could enforce, prosecute the law impartially. Imagine being a Trumpkin, some redneck white guy with a Trump hat going in her courtroom. I mean, she's still not only in office, she's on the case. This is so beyond parody. Truly amazing. All right, we got more really disturbing breaking news. Yes, we have another undocumented newcomer who's come to this country and, committed the rapes that Americans don't want to commit here in Massachusetts. Just breaking now. We'll get to that. And Joe Biden issued an official statement about some poor non-binary kid in Oklahoma who committed suicide. There's no depth he will not sink to use the death, to use tragedy to advance his political agenda. Nothing on Lincoln Riley. Nothing. No official statement. Finally said her name, said the wrong name. But this kid, who goes by they pronouns, this kid, he's going to use her, and he will do it dishonestly, as usual. We'll get to that and lots more, but first.
Excuse me.
Factor's delicious, easy-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. You'll have 35 different options a week to choose from keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality two-minute meals that are ready to eat whenever you are. Factor meals have snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and others. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. We just finished our first Factor order, and we ordered more. They're that good. Head to factormeals.com/Jerry50. That's G-E-R-R-Y 5-0. And use code Jerry50 to get 50% off. That's code Jerry50 at factormeals.com/Jerry50. All right, this is just breaking here in Massachusetts. Stop me if you've heard this one before. An illegal alien. Oh, I'm sorry, a parolee. A newcomer brought here by Joe Biden and flown to JFK Airport last fall, flown to JFK Airport last June. Sorry. His name is Corey Alvarez, immigrant, newcomer from Haiti, flown to JFK and then on to Boston because we, on to Massachusetts, because we are a sanctuary state. We welcome people like Corey Alvarez. We put them up in hotels. He was living in a beautiful hotel, at least it used to be beautiful, in Rockland. Also living in that hotel was a 15-year-old disabled immigrant girl. She asked Corey if he could help her with her computer or a phone. He said, sure, come to my room, where he proceeded allegedly to rape the disabled 15-year-old girl. Pay attention to the story. Read about it if you can, because it's going to go away real quickly. I just checked. Nothing from Ayanna Pressley. Nothing from Liz Warren. Nothing from Joe Biden. You will not hear much about the 15-year-old girl, disabled girl, because they can't use her. On the contrary, they want it to just go away. This is who Joe Biden is working hard to bring into your community, to bring into your neighborhood. He's from Haiti, and he's one of many, many more, tens of thousands of more, come to this country, and Joe Biden is going to do everything he can, use the federal government to get them in this country, locate them in your neighborhood, give them everything, and if they happen to rape a disabled girl, that's collateral damage. That doesn't matter to him. She's like Lake and Riley. She's not useful. Maybe someone in the media, maybe there'll be someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene who will force him to address this, who will force Corinne Jean-Pierre to talk about this, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I think this is a one-day story, just another undocumented newcomer who built this country. Let's watch the report. Local WBZ CBS news report about this breaking news. Go ahead.
Migrant has been charged with raping a 15-year-old disabled girl at a Rockland hotel. The case already sparking outcry from local leaders. WBZ's Brandon Truitt is live in Rockland with what was revealed in court today. Brandon.
Well, Chris, the state started booking out all of the rooms in this hotel last year as a part of its emergency assistance shelter program. And authorities have confirmed to us that both the victim and suspect in this case lived here.
I have a patron. I don't know if he's a manager or a National Guard on the 911 line, 850 Hingham Street. Can be for the migrant section.
It was around 7 Wednesday night. Police records show a front desk worker called 911 reporting a 15-year-old disabled girl had been sexually assaulted.
Room 115, meet the police, EMS response.
Police say they met the teenager in the lobby. Using multiple translators, she told authorities a man in the hotel brought her to his room to help her with an app on her tablet. Once there, he began having sex with her, the girl explained. According to the police report, the girl asked the man to leave her alone, but says that he wouldn't stop. She was ultimately taken to the hospital. Using a description of the man, police found their suspect in the room where the alleged rape happened. With enough evidence, police say they arrested 26-year-old Corey Alvarez. He was formally charged with rape of a child in Hingham District Court Thursday. Authorities say Alvarez moved here from Haiti and is part of the migrant system.
There you go. Will you hear about Corey Alvarez? I don't think so. I just checked the Boston Globe. They have a story. It says man charged with raping a disabled 15-year-old. Just a man, a Rockland man. They won't tell you that Joe Biden brought him here, paroled him into this country. He allegedly has a sponsor. In the old days, you used to have a sponsor when you get to Ellis Island and a job and a place to live. Well, we don't worry about that anymore. We just bring you here. Here's your hotel. Here's your $64 a day in food. Here's your phone. Here's your health care. Here's your dental care. Here's all the freebies that come with it, with the hope. This is all for one reason. The hope that someday Corey Alvarez will vote for a Democrat. That's it. That's the kind of people we've elected, at least in blue states. That's why Maura Healey wants him here. That's why Ayanna Pressley and Bill Keating, Joe Biden, want him here. Because maybe Corey Alvarez doesn't have to contribute to society, doesn't have to get a job, pay taxes. He just has to vote Democrat. That's it. I need to know, are there Democrats out there? I mean, I know Joe Biden will win this state. Maura Healey, Ayanna Pressley, they'll all get reelected. Does that mean Democrats are okay with this? If you're a Democrat, are you cool with this? Are you good with Corey Alvarez coming here, living off you, living in a nice hotel for forever? And then, you know, if he happens to have his way with a disabled 15-year-old, that is just collateral damage.
He'll get off, though, but he's from Haiti, so he'll just say it was meal prep. And then he'll be off.
Yeah, we should be glad. I guess he didn't eat her. Yeah. I don't think. But this is sickening. It should be front page news everywhere. It should be the lead on every website. It won't be because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't help Joe Biden advance his radical agenda, which we will get to. He has been hijacked. Obviously, he's an empty vessel. He's an empty husk. And he has just handed over his agenda to the radical, far left, tiny, small minority. Everything Joe Biden's doing right now, everything Chuck Schumer's doing, is to placate the 1%, maybe 2%, mostly to Dearborn, Michigan, to the 20,000 voters in Dearborn, Michigan, that he's losing because he is supporting Israel. He's trying to get them back. So everything he's doing is designed for that reason. Let's go to him yesterday in Michigan. We've told you for a year that he's incapable of running for re-election because he can't campaign. He obviously can't debate. He obviously can't do a press conference. He's not going to do any of that. But he has to somehow reach out to these radicals, get them back in line. So he will go to Michigan. He will send Kamala to Minnesota, where there's a little bit of an uprising led by Ilhan Omar. She went to an abortion clinic, the first president or vice president ever to make a campaign appearance at an abortion clinic. That's the strategy. But they send Joe Biden, his handlers, the visiting angels, send Joe Biden to Michigan to somehow quell the uprising. He doesn't make any speeches, doesn't hold a press conference, doesn't sit down with the local media. He goes to someone's house, not sure why, but he's there for a reason, to win these people back. This is Joe Biden. This is the leader of the free world on the campaign trail, ostensibly, at someone's house. He's on the front porch, and I don't know if you can hear all the audio, but it is remarkable. He wants to take some questions from the assembled media and the handlers around him, which look like they're 26-year-old women, probably, you know, graduated from Middlebury with their women's studies degrees, just these radical little assistants, handlers, PR people, and they won't let the president take questions, even though he says, I want to take a few questions. Watch this and tell me if you've ever seen anything like it. How is this not disqualifying? you can't do this. You can't be president. We've seen the disaster he's been for 3 years. What do we think's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 more years? I mean, he'll be in a wheelchair. He'll be unable to communicate. They'll just be wheeling him around like weekend at Bernie's. Look at the person, if you're watching along. See the person smiling at him right there? There's your prototypical Biden supporter. There's the kind of person who doesn't give a shit about the 15-year-old girl in Rockland, Mass., who doesn't care about Lake and Riley. She just worships or adores this empty vessel who is there to advance their insane anti-American agenda. Play this.
We're going to take a few questions. Thank you, Press. Thank you so much. Back in the vehicles. Back to the cars. Thank you. Back to cars. We're happy to watch all.
Thank you, Press.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
We gotta go.
Bunch of hens.
Gotta go. So he says we should take some questions. The one handler says, oh, let's take a couple of questions. And these little, whatever, pests, they chased the media away. So he took Air Force One to Michigan, made an appearance on someone's porch, and that was it. That was his day. He's got 8 months to go. He's got to campaign. I mean, he knows he's losing support. And this is what he's going to do? Just stand around, show up, shuffle around, not take questions, not do interviews, not do press conferences, not do rallies, which he's incapable of doing? Good luck with that. We'll get to the latest on him just pandering to the crazy kook left in the wake of the death of a non-binary kid in Oklahoma. It is truly disgusting. And I bet you didn't know this, but headaches are racist. Yep. As headaches, they're, it's white supremacy is what it is. Advil has gone woke. And all I have to say is, didn't they watch? Didn't any of these people pay attention to what happened to Bud Light? It's like Bud Light didn't happen. They don't care. They've been hijacked, just like the Biden administration. They've been hijacked by left-wing lunatics. Yeah, I can't believe the campaign that that Advil has undergone here. It's just nuts. We'll get to that and more. But first, history, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Did you study these things in school? Maybe not. And if you did, like me, you probably didn't pay attention and you wish you did. That's why I'm so excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. You heard me right. That's free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it has been undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. Wow, talk about a relevant course. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Jerry to enroll. There's no cost and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Jerry to register. I'm not sure how many people followed this story, but it was fascinating. A girl, a young kid, 16-year-old student in Oklahoma, committed suicide the other day. Committed suicide, which is sad. It's tragic. It's too bad. She sounds like she had a tough life. She was non-binary, went by they, them pronouns, which we'll get to. And she had a fight in school. And then went home and died. Initially, the media jumped all over this. They had a new poster child. They were hoping for a new George Floyd, a martyr that they could use for the next 8 months and talk about, right-wing media forcing this child, forcing the bullies to beat her up, kill her. They blamed libs of TikTok. Shia Raychick. They blamed her, literally blamed her for the death of this child. It was sickening. It was nauseating, but it's what they do. Anyway, after the autopsy, we learned that she committed suicide. She wasn't bullied, beaten up, and killed. That didn't happen. Initially, oh, they beat her up in the bathroom, killed her. Didn't happen. Made up. Then we find out she started the fight. She threw water on the other kids. And then we find out she's had a very troubled life. She OD'd and died, and that's tragic. That's awful. A 16-year-old kid in Oklahoma. Well, Joe Biden, as we said, never lets a tragedy go to waste. Keep in mind, this is a man who never released a statement about Lake and Riley. His staff tweeted something out after the pressure was too much. So this girl dies of an overdose, of suicide. Again, awful tragedy. Someone on Biden's staff said, hey, let's not let this go to waste. I just want to read the NBC report. The media, they're obviously not going to apologize to Chaya Raychick or Matt Walsh or Elon Musk or whoever else they're going to blame for this. They were wrong. Doesn't matter. You know, they tried. Here's how they write this. Her name is Nex, N-E-X Benedict. Nex Benedict, a 16-year-old Oklahoma student who died one day after a fight in school, died by suicide, the medical examiner revealed. The summary report said Benedict, who identified as non-binary and used they, them pronouns, died due to a combined toxicity of two different medications, which I believe were prescribed. The day before they died, Benedict was involved in a fight in the girls' bathroom at Owosso High School. A school nurse sent Benedict to the hospital where they told police that three girls were harassing them. She responded by throwing water at the girls, which prompted the fight. So they just up and decided to start messing with you. I guess that's the proper use of they. Yeah, because the way we dress, so she refers to herself as we and wants other people to refer to as they. Now, there's lots of insane, you know, language in that comes from the LGBTQ cult, but this one's the craziest. This is distorting, perverting the language, the English language. You are not plural. You want to say, call yourself he or she, fine. You can't call yourself they. And if you do, the media shouldn't play along. Anyway, it went from, the tragic death of a very troubled, confused young girl in Minnesota who had a tough life. And Joe Biden got a hold of it. She's not going to be the next George Floyd, unfortunately. Didn't work out, Joe. I'm sorry. Sorry about that to everybody in the media. Wasn't what you were hoping. He puts out a statement on the official White House, the logo, the presidential seal. It says, Jill and I are heartbroken at the loss of Nex Benedict. Every person deserves to have fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported. Nex Benedict, a kid who just wanted to be accepted, should still be with us today. She killed herself. Non-binary and transgender people are some of the bravest Americans I know. Of course, she doesn't know any, but nobody should have to be brave to be themselves. In memory of Nex, we must recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Bullying is hurtful and cruel. No one else should have to face what Nex did. Parents in school must take reports of bullying seriously. Any statement from the kid in Hazelwood High in Chicago, St. Louis, who was beaten and is now clinging to life, has brain damage. The girl who's had her head beaten into the concrete. The little white girl who was in a high school that was 98% black, got beaten and might not make it. Has Joe released a statement about that kid? This is so despicable. He is just a soulless ghoul. He doesn't care about Nex. He doesn't give a damn about just some kid. He didn't care about Lake and Riley. doesn't care about the disabled girl in Rockland, Mass, who was just raped. He doesn't care at all. He cares about getting reelected. He cares about himself at all. That's all. That's it. This is despicable. Using the death of some kid that you didn't know. You don't even know the story. You don't care. You just think this will help you advance your radical agenda. It truly is amazing. I'm not sure it's going to help you win over the Dearborn, Michigan crowd, Joe, but somebody, one of those little hens, as you call them, who was screaming at the media, they wrote this. Someone that was with him, someone on his staff, wrote this, said, let's get this out there, Joe. This will be important. This will placate the lunatic, whacked out, screwed up, insane left. But all right, before we get to Advil, I want to mention just, and because it's fitting today. What Joe Biden did here is despicable, disgusting, obviously. What Chuck Schumer did yesterday is worse, is so much worse. I have no respect for Chuck Schumer. He's a snake. He's a liar. He's the most powerful Jew in America. He is the top Democrat in the Senate, one of the most powerful people in the world. He's from New York. He's allegedly a proud Jewish member of the Senate. He came out yesterday, if you missed it, and called for the removal of Benjamin Netanyahu, who is leading the war effort for Israel. And by the way, he might not have the approval of 100% of the people in Israel, but they approve of the way he's prosecuting the war. They support him. The numbers are overwhelming. It's like 75-80% of Israel supports his effort to eradicate Hamas. He's very popular at the moment. In fact, his number one political rival, Benny Gantz, came out for calling for the removal of Netanyahu in the middle of a war. He is supposedly calls himself a friend of Netanyahu. This is the length they'll go for that small pocket of Hamas supporting radicals in Michigan and Minnesota. This is what they will do. This is the depths they will sink to, trying to undermine the elected leader of our closest ally as they fight a completely just war against a band of terrorists in Gaza. Most Americans support the war effort. Most Israelis support it. But a bunch of people in Dearborn and maybe in a few other pockets do not, and they're afraid of losing them. So they send out this absolute despicable, spineless creature to say, it's time for Netanyahu to go. Listen to this. Even Mitch McConnell, who I don't even know, I think he died three months ago, came out and said this is disgusting and grotesque after he did it.
Yeah.
But again, this is a guy who overwhelmingly wins the Jewish vote in New York. He will do it again because Democrats just, they have no souls. They don't care. But what he did here is just so far beneath contempt. Let's watch.
But in order to achieve a two-state solution, the reality is that things must change. Right now, there are four major obstacles standing in the way of two states. And until they are removed from the equation, there will never be peace in Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. The four major obstacles are Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways, radical right-wing Israelis in government and society, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Disgusting.
It's amazing. First of all, nobody wants a two-state solution. The idea that you could have a state right there on the border is full of people who want to kill Israeli. That's their agenda. They don't want to get along with their neighbor. They want to kill them all. They don't think Israel has a right to exist. The idea that our president and the leader of the Senate are calling for something so ridiculous, two-state solution. Secondly, there's been five or six ceasefire proposals presented to Hamas, and they've rejected them all. They don't want a ceasefire. If you're screaming ceasefire now, you should be screaming at Hamas, ceasefire now. If they put down their arms, release the hostages, then no more innocent Palestinian civilians die. This is a real disconnect. It really is. I think people are going to see this and say, he has sold out. I mean, sold out his people, his Jewish people, the supporters, the voters, to interfere in a foreign election, interfere with the duty of our ally to eliminate the hostages that want to kill them all. All right, before we go, you didn't know this, but headaches are just another manifestation of white supremacy, and Advil is a fear. Advil. I always see these things and picture the room, you know, in their offices, wherever it is, New York. And they sit around a boardroom and they say, let's go all in on this, you know, whatever, racial justice nonsense. Let's point out that we're here to ease the pain of Black Americans who suffer from whatever, headaches or white supremacy.
Climate change.
It's so incoherent. It's so silly. What do they think they're accomplishing? They think people are going to say, you know, they're right. This country is just so hopelessly, systemically racist. Let me get some Advil to make it all go away. Let's watch this new campaign from Advil.
I should not have to beg my doctor to run tests or ask them to take another look.
Welcome to Believe My Pain, a discussion about systemic pain bias in healthcare. I want to thank all of you and all of you for joining me today as we talk about this very important issue. I also want to thank the Pain Equity Project developed by Advil in partnership with the Morehouse School of Medicine and Black Health for inviting us to be a part of their commitment to addressing pain bias in Black communities.
This is only Ayanna Pressley could take that seriously. Pain bias, racial injustice in pain? What the
hell? Yeah. Pain's racist, climate change is racist. And
I mean, you want to accuse whatever doctors, which I don't believe, but if you said doc, but pain bias? I don't know. Someone has to introduce them to, what was her name? Alyssa Schneiderdy, the Bud Light exec. Who decided to hire?
Yeah.
Say, ask her. Why don't you get her take on this? How it all works out?
Advil's going to put that ad out, and all that's going to happen is people are going to think they're racist now because of it, and then start boycotting them.
I mean, I guess Advil probably isn't as you know radioactive as Bud Light. Bud Light was, I'll say it again, was so easy to boycott. You know, you just got another beer. I don't know if people are going to say, oh, hell with Advil. I'm going to have a Motrin.
You go to Tylenol. Yeah.
Tell them to get Tylenol. They're not racist. But somebody saw this, I mean, thought this up, wrote this out, put it together and said, it's a good idea. It's just what we need here. I mean, they never, ever stop. Their whole inclination is to divide people along racial lines. It's just amazing.
Good point by Rich here.
Rich points out Pete Buttigieg. He's still battling, by the way, the roads. And the bridges, the federal government just sent Massachusetts, like, I don't know what it is, a couple hundred million to fix the Mass Pike near Boston. Mm-hmm. And Ayanna Pressley immediately pointed out that it was a win for transit racial justice.
I mean, the bridges on Starro are still going to be only like 8 feet tall, so it's not going to do anything.
Probably racist too, but yeah. That's all. Ayanna, I'm going to check again, but nothing from Ayanna Pressley, nothing from Liz Warren, nothing from Maura Healey. Again, the 15-year-old girl, disabled girl, collateral damage. She means nothing to them. They can't use her, so they will move on, but we won't. We'll follow this case. We'll learn more. I'm just going to guess that Corey Alvarez was studying to be an engineer. Maybe he was a spying rapper He was just getting his life together. He was ready to move out of the hotel. Mm-hmm. He was ready to live the American dream, but, you know, just couldn't help himself. Just couldn't help himself. Disgusting story, sickening story. But that's the Biden policy. So we'll just expect it to continue. And by the way, thousands, thousands more Haitians are on their way. And DeSantis in Florida is taking measures to stop them. He's got ways to keep them from landing on the Florida coast. You watch. My prediction, Joe Biden, the federal government will sue. They will send people in there to stop DeSantis from stopping the invasion. They will do everything in their power to make sure we get more Haitian cannibals here in our country.
Yeah, anyone with human thigh meat and fingers in their stomach shouldn't be allowed in.
That was a good Babylon Bee said, Haitians, more Haitians coming to the America because they saw how fat Americans are.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Good eating. All right. We will leave it there for today and for this week. Thanks to everybody for listening and watching. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again Monday morning.
But I'm going to go to bed.